our books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Apostasy, good, that one can be a tougher one to remember. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, that's a double one, Kinsman, Redeemer, and then, what is it, Esther? 1 Samuel, my mind's blank when I get them out that way. 1 Samuel is transition, 2 Samuel, David's reign, 1 Kings, schism, right? Schism. 2 Kings, captivities. Good job. And 1 Chronicles, remember the Chronicles, what letter do both of them start with? W's. Good job, Dan.
Chronicles start
You're right, Bass. Okay, 1 Chronicles is warning, right?
Worship?
I got it wrong. 1 Chronicles is worship. 2 Chronicles is warning. And then we go on to Ezra, the return. Nehemiah, refortification. I believe that's the last one of our history set. Oh, no, Esther, and that is providential care. Excellent. Let's run through these ones real quick. 1 Kings, schism. 2 Kings, captivities. 1 Chronicles, worship. 2 Chronicles, warning. Ezra, the return. Nehemiah, refortification. Esther, providential care. And so we'll just keep working on those. One more, just let's do the books up through Esther in order. I know most of you know them, but I know it messes me up when I'm going through these two. Genesis, and see, now I'm going to say beginnings. It's Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and then we get into poetry, which is Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then we go on from there. Okay, so continue to work on these. Again, these words are just to help us as we're reading through it, just to say that's the overall theme, because some of these books are tough to read through. You know what I mean? And sometimes like, whoa, what do I get out of that? But it's incredible. Man, I think Leviticus. Leviticus is what? Holiness. Good. Leviticus is holiness. Man, we look at the law in Leviticus and it's like, oh, what do I get? But the reality that God is holy. Look at what his expectations are. I could never live up to this. I need a Savior. That's Jesus Christ. And just incredible to see some of these things. Back to the book of Genesis. Back to the book of Genesis. And we will get into our lesson for tonight. We've talked through a number of the things on there. Let's just kind of run through the first couple slides here, Ashton. Genesis 12 through 14, we talked about a covenant relationship, that it's an agreement or pact or promise. Two types of covenants, man to man, God to man. And God always upholds his promises. We see that doesn't happen with people. You ever broken your own promise to someone? You ever had someone break theirs to you? Man, that happened, sadly. And then we talked about established through faith. Go ahead and throw this whole thing up there, Ashton. Terah moved his family. God told Abram to leave, completely break with his past, give up practical all-nature ties. Go ahead and skip this one. And then we go into God's promised blessings to make Abram a great nation, make Abram prosperous in his business with his family. And and in his faith, that's right, we talked about that one. And that God would bless him. And then as we continue on with this, that he had faith, and that Abram's faith was where righteousness came by. We ended up with salvation comes by faith alone. Even in the Old Testament, it was never by works. It was always by through faith. Again, the faith doesn't provide it, because, man, I have faith that this pew will hold me up. And it did. That faith doesn't save me. Faith in and of itself does not save someone. Faith in Jesus Christ saves someone. Faith that his finished work on the cross. Again, it's not just believing that Jesus is. It's not enough to know about Jesus, but to put your personal faith in Jesus Christ. And so here they're looking ahead to this. Righteousness came by faith. And then we get into our next section. Abram didn't always choose right. Huh? Abram had a sin what? Nature. How many of us have a sin nature? Good, about 50% of us still do. The rest of you just lied to me, okay? So we all have a sin nature. We battle with our sin nature. Just because we get saved doesn't mean our sin nature goes away. In fact, Nick and I have been talking about that. Man, at salvation, it's incredible. Nick, you don't have that quote in front of you about the portrait, do you?
Yeah.
If you can pull that out here real quick, that'd be great. I think that's great. But we don't all have, we don't get rid of the sin nature at salvation, which sure is a bummer. It'd be nice if we could, but we don't ever reach the point of sinless perfection here on earth. Some people teach this truth. The Bible does not teach this truth. In fact, Abram didn't always choose right. We don't always choose right. We're studying a book, this quote from this book. Go ahead, Nick. It's not exterminated at salvation. When we get the new nature, the nature of Christ, that doesn't mean our old nature, our sin nature, is gone. Now, we're reminded from Corinthians that, my mind is blank, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, at salvation, we're become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yet we still have the sin nature within us. You and I still choose sin because, as James reminds us, we're drawn away of our own lust of our mind, our heart, and enticed. And so we're drawn away. Abram, he did not always choose right. Quickly, if we go down again, this is Genesis 12 through 14. As we're studying through this passage, Abram did not always choose right. In chapter 12, verses 4 through 10, he went south to Egypt. He went south to Egypt, and we see the reality of that. Verse 9 talks about that. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. So that's like going from Stockbridge to Munich, right? Or something like that. That's south. But he continued journeying south and south. And he traveled south to what? Egypt. You kind of see the map behind it. Ashton, where's Egypt? There we go. He journeyed south to Egypt. Verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. He said, honey, you are gorgeous. Okay? And so he said, man, I know you're fair to look upon. He said, therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Because, whoa, kind of like, you know, when Adam said in the garden, whoa, man, when it was woman. The reality is here, he says, man, you are beautiful. He said, so tell them, verse 13, say, I pray thee, thou art my what? That it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entered Abram well for her sake, entreated. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of who? Sarai. We often know her as Sarah later on, but Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy what? Wife. Why sayest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. It's kind of like, here, there's the door, let me show you your way there. Why? Because Abram didn't choose right. Go ahead and ask him. He journeyed to the south. He told a lie about his wife. We can get into it a little bit later, where another passage where he says the same thing. He says, well, she is my sister. We could look at some of those familiar relationships. She's his wife. And so he told a lie. He was afraid for his own life. Selfish reasons, whether they're real or not, are never good enough reasons to sin. He was afraid for his own life. He said she was his what? Sister. We could look at Genesis 20 verse 12 and see the reality of that again. Pharaoh took Sarai and made Abram rich. Hey, let me give you lots. God was faithful despite Abram's faithlessness. God was faithful. Aren't you thankful for that? How many times in our own lives have we lived with sin and God was still faithful to us? God didn't just hold him accountable, and he did. We all are accountable for our behavior and our sin. But God blessed in spite of his sin. Abram told a lie, but God was faithful despite or in spite of Abram's faithlessness. Again, he wasn't trusting God. Couldn't God have kept him alive? Yeah, he sure could have. Because hadn't God already promised through in this same passage? We saw it. God promised to make his family great and bless him greatly. Abram didn't have to lie in order to have it happen because God is faithful. When you and I don't understand, we can always trust. God wants us to trust him. And so he was faithful. God sent plagues so Pharaoh would release her. And then Pharaoh confronted Abram. Now, man, this is a sad section. Pharaoh, an unsaved man, confronted a man who was made righteous through his faith. A man who trusted God, who looked ahead towards the salvation, but this unsaved confronted him. And you know, many times the unsaved know how we're to live. Let's live godly in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Because God will be glorified as you and I live for him. It's not always easy, but it's always right. Father, we thank you for your love. I pray that you would change us, that you would help us to live for you, even when life gets difficult, even when things happen that we don't understand or that we're afraid of. But you are faithful. Help us to remember that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.